Not the prettiest formula I ever saw. There it is.
It can be memorized. I mean, you know, there's mnemonic devices. That one little thing I do to help myself remember this is I remember the first part, and then I think of kind of a cycle, like this. So here I was at 2-3, and then if I sort of shift the 2-3 over, it goes to 3-1, right? Comes around to 1-2. Okay. But it's not as easy as the dot product, right? Not as easy to remember. Well, you can bring notes. Anything you can put on paper, you can bring it to the exam. So write it down.
Bring the whole thing, whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, you can't bring something with internet access to a test.
Can you print it?
Yeah, you can print it. You can print the whole textbook and bring the textbook. You can bring another textbook.
Oh, we can bring a textbook?
Yeah, that's in the syllabus. Notes, books are allowed on tests. I found that my tests are hard enough without asking people to memorize lots of stuff. There's really a time limit, right? Especially if it's not the final exam. You've only got 50 minutes, right? If you don't already know it, it's going to take a while for you to look it up and figure it out anyway. So you're going to be at an advantage if you can remember it, obviously. Dot product is easier, much easier, right? And it works in any number of dimensions. Be 10 dimensions, the dot product's all the same, and it has, you know, useful interpretations and so on. But this thing is really only 3D only. If you wanted to do a two-dimensional version, you would basically make these zero and just get this thing. Well, not that. Actually, you just get this thing. And forget about them. There's no clear way to generalize this formula to other dimensions. If you want to multiply two vectors and get another vector, the cross product is really the only useful way we have for doing that. in two dimensions, you know, you can get a scalar type cross product. And in any number of dimensions, there's always the dot product, but that's always a scalar output, right? These products are numbers, whereas this is another vector. Okay. Okay. Now, why would anybody want this complicated thing? Okay. Why would anybody want the cross product? Well, what it does is, it first of all, it gives you a vector perpendicular to two other vectors. See, 3D is special in that regard. If I have two vectors, right? Then, you know, if I have two arrows like my arms, what's perpendicular to both of them at the same time? There's just one direction. Well, okay, two directions, right? Either up or down in this case, right? And the cross product does that. It's perpendicular to both U and V. Let's do a little example of this. Of the first vector times the third component of the second vector minus, then switch it around, third component of first vector times second component of first vector. Third component of first vector minus second component of second vector. Kind of the 2, 3, right? This two is in second and then third and second, and then now we sort of rotate things around. Now you do the third times the first. So 7 times -2. And then, okay, switch around. First times third. And then finally we rotate in my little 1, 2, 3 circle there one more time, and now we do first times second. So the first one here times the second one here, and then it flips again, right? So now second times first, so 4 times -1. Very easy to make a sign error with these things because there's all those minus signs lurking around. Yeah, that's a -2. Thank you. Okay. So I computed it. My calculator can do that too. It's in my catalog under C. Lowercase c, lowercase r,
OSS and then a capital P, right? Cross P, right? Let's see if my calculator agrees with my very fallible methods there. Okay, good. With your help, I got it right. Yeah. Okay.
This is my calculator. I type in this. And the output is this. Okay. So yay, I got it right.
Okay.
There. If anybody's interested, I'll just pass this around. Now, your book actually gives a proof that the cross product of two vectors really is perpendicular to both of those. I won't repeat the proof. It's just lots of lines of algebra that are probably not particularly enlightening for you right now, but I'll check that these are perpendicular. Okay? How do you check that two vectors are perpendicular? Anybody remember a way to do that?
Is it trying to...
What?
Was it trying to each of the B numbers to each of the U?
No, you did... Oh, okay, well then I'd have to figure out the slope of the vector. So there's an easier way. What's the fastest way to check that these vectors are perpendicular? Check that there's a 90 degree angle. Okay, what's the cosine of a 90 degree angle?
Zero.
So how could I get, how could I check to see if I get that zero? So the dot product was magnitudes times cosine of angle, right? It's easier, it's easier.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay, so you've got that angle, right? The angle between these is 90 degrees or pi over 2. Only if the cosine is 0, right? Because it's an angle between 0 and 180 degrees. So the only such angle with a 0 cosine is 90 degrees. Okay, well, 0 times anything is 0. So I can go ahead and multiply by the magnitudes of these A and B. Right? And, and that won't change whether or not I'm getting 0. Right? Okay. This is equal to the dot product. Okay. So there's a really fast way of checking if vectors are perpendicular. Just take the dot product. Okay. Okay. So for example, this first one, 147. Dot this cross product here. Right? 12, negative 17, 8. And remember, the dot product gives you a number, not a vector. So we're going to get 12 minus, what, 68 plus 56, right? 1 times 12, 4 times negative 17, 7 times 8. Yeah. You can check the other one. Negative 203 dot, same thing, 12, negative 17, 8. Negative 24, 0, and 3 times 8 is also 24.
So checking perpendicularity is actually pretty easy. Just take the dot product and see if it's zero. Okay, so the cross product gives you a perpendicular vector. Okay, still not super excited about having... Okay, that's nice that I can figure out the perpendicular vector. But the cross product has other nice properties besides just allowing you to cook up this third vector perpendicular to these two.
So we have kind of a crude picture now. We can kind of imagine, a crude 3D sketcher. We imagine kind of, okay, here's U, here's V, and then we've got the mutually perpendicular U cross V. We've got a little bit.
Photograph this. That doesn't really work. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's say a little bit more now about the geometry. Okay? So, if you have two arrows, there's a whole line perpendicular to both of them. So, which direction does the cross product give you? Right? Okay. You know, if I have these arrows, you know, is the cross product going to point up or is it going to point down? Okay, who can tell me the way you figure that out, or at least the It depends on which factor is on the left and which is on the right, actually. But we have something called the right-hand rule. Okay.
Right. Now, I'll give you some intuition for it. Okay, so point in the direction of the first factor, say, U, wherever that points, then bend your fingers in the direction of B, so let's say that way. And then point your thumb out, and that's U cross B. So I could imagine, you know, pointing my arm and my fingers in all sorts of directions,
my fingers don't have to make a right angle with my hand. They can make any kind of angle, right? But the point is, put my arm wherever the first vector is, then bend my fingers to the direction of the second vector, wherever it is,
and then take my thumb out, point it out, and it's at a right angle with my arm, roughly, and at a right angle with my fingers. So it's the right hand rule, right? Kind of a hand. I'm not an artist. I don't know. It's supposed to be a thumb. I can't. There's my. I give up. There's a better picture in the book. Whatever. Okay. Picture is worth about 5 words, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So,
basic case here. Okay. So, let's say forward, cross, left. My left, your right, is up.
Okay.
But what if I switch that order? Instead of forward, cross, my left, I'll take my left, cross, forward. Okay, so my forward for me. And now my thumb points down. So it flips.
And so in fact that's a general thing. If you flip the order of the factors, you flip the sign of the cross product. Yeah.
What's the relationship between the magnitude of U cross V and the original vector?
Oh, I can tell you that. Did you read it in the book? Maybe you can tell me. Okay. But that it's an excellent question. Right? I mean, it's a vector, so it has a magnitude, not just a direction, right? Certainly. If you say multiply each of your vectors by a number, right, to change their magnitudes, you can factor out those numbers. Okay, because you can check that that works. If I put a bunch of A's in front of these U's here, a bunch of B's in front of these V's, I'll get an AB factor in each of these 6 places, and I could factor it all out. Okay, so. So qualitatively, I can say that the magnitude of the cross product is proportional to each of the magnitudes. So if I double the magnitude of either of my factors, U and V, then the cross product magnitude doubles. Okay. The dot product is like that too. But more precisely, we can say exactly what the magnitude is. It's the magnitude of the first factor times the magnitude of the second factor times the sine of the angles between them. Now that angle is always chosen to be between 0 and 180 degrees. So the sine of such an angle, that's the y-coordinate of an angle that, if you're thinking of the standard unit circle, I guess your positive x-axis here, from 0 to 180 degrees, you're always on the top half of the circle. Okay? So the y-coordinate is always positive. Now compare this to the dot product, right? Dot product, it doesn't matter. What the order is, U first or V first. The angle theta is between 0 and 180 degrees, so you're on the top half of the circle, but you could be in the first quadrant, from 0 to 90 degrees, in which case cosine is positive, or you could be in the second quadrant, 90 to 180 degrees, where cosine goes negative, but the sine is still positive. Right? I keep saying that, so that means I need to draw you a picture of it. Picture where it could be negative would be something like this, right? Anytime the angle is bigger than 90 degrees. But the cross product will have that magnitude there. And the book actually gives a long series of lines of algebra and eventually uses a trig identity to actually prove that, yes, the magnitude really is that. Basically, you take the dot product of U cross V of itself to get the squared magnitude and then do lots of algebra. So I won't repeat the book's proof, but I guess one other compare to thing you can do is, besides just compare to the dot product, compare to these trig formulas. Okay. When you take the cosine of alpha minus beta, that's the same as the cosine of beta minus alpha, and you get cosine alpha, cosine beta, plus sine alpha, sine beta, right? Looks like a dot product, right? You take the sine of alpha minus beta, let's see, that is equal to the opposite of the sine of beta minus alpha, and what is the formula for this? Let's see, actually, let me put the minus sign. Over here, try to make it look as much like a cross product as I can. So it's going to be cosine alpha sine of beta minus sine of alpha cosine beta. Looks more like one of these cross product terms, right? Okay. So there is a connection. I won't give you a rigorous proof, but these are all related to each other. Okay, so
let's erase my earlier example.
Kill this stuff here.
Okay, so the main applications of the cross product are to physics, okay? In physics, there are lots of vector things. In physics 1, you learn that torque is equal to basically a radius vector cross a force vector. Okay? And these are. And you learn that, not work, but if you're looking at forces, right? There's a magnetic force, right? It's equal to what? You have to take, you have to take charge times velocity, and the velocity is a vector, cross what? Cross the magnetic field, right? Which is, the magnetic field is, think of a bunch of vectors in space, and at every point, there's a little arrow. We'll do vector fields in chapter 6. So, okay, I'm not going to test you on physics, obviously, but I just want to point out these are some of the reasons why people actually do care about cross products. Okay. If you're just doing pure math, well, okay, I can give you some geometric applications. Okay. Thanks to this way of getting the sine of the angle, you can compute some stuff. So, for example, let's say I had u and then vector v, and I make copies here of u and v, like so. Okay. And then here's that angle theta. So the area of this parallelogram that I just made is actually going to be the height times the width of the base. The width of the base is just the magnitude of v, and the height right there would be the magnitude of u times the sine of that angle theta. So base times height will give me the parallelogram area. So let's see though. Okay, the base will be magnitude v, and I've got here magnitude u times sine of theta. So the magnitude is equal to a parallelogram area. Let me just write that a little bigger. What else could I do with that? Well, every parallelogram is actually two triangles, right? Want to have some fun with this. Go 3D, and there's something called a parallelepiped. which is okay. So I have a parallelogram, and then I go off into the third dimension here. And I make four parallel copies of some other vector W. And then I get my parallelogram again up at the top. Okay, and that crazy thing. So is the magnitude of U dot V cross W. So the magnitude here is just the magnitude of a number, so absolute value. Right? So you have parallelepiped volume. Yeah. Okay. We're going to do some of that geometric stuff tomorrow. Okay? But I don't have time to really dig into it today. Okay? So I'm going to spend another day on the cross product. That'll be tomorrow. An analog of the triangle thing. You've got 1/6. Which is equal to a certain tetrahedron volume.
That 1/6?
Yeah, that's a 6. So there's a lot of stuff you can do with these. The tetrahedron you get is it's kind of like this triangle where I had U and V start at the same point. You have U, V, and W start at the same point, and then you get the triangle this way, or the tetrahedron this way. So there's a lot of stuff you can do with this. So I'll talk about at least some of these.